You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Everton 2, Liverpool FC 2. Was that a fair result? What exactly led to the argy-bargy at the end of the Merseyside derby? Why did Liverpool manager Arne Slot get sent off by Michael Oliver? And what does the phrase "to call it a night" mean? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Footglish podcast. My name is Denek Lukas. I'm an English teacher, and the Footglish podcast is the best English learning podcast about football since sliced bread. I'm sure you know it already. And today I've got two exclusive guests for you, two cousins, two fans from Liverpool, but they do not support the same club. Hello, lads. Welcome to the Footglish podcast. How are you doing?
Hello. Very well, thank you. After this week.
Yeah. Stephen's probably still buzzing. I'm not too bad after this week. It wasn't the worst thing for me.
All right. So the person who has just finished speaking, that's Paul. You probably know him very well. He's been on this podcast before. Steve, I think he hasn't been on this podcast yet. Steve, you are an Everton fan, right?
I am, yes. Very big Everton fan. Best part of 30 odd years now. Yeah, been going to Goodison since I was 10, 41 now, 42 next week. So yeah, 30 years Evertonian.
A nice one. And Paul, as we know, you are a Liverpool FC fan.
Yeah. Out of the, I don't go to match like Stephen though. I did have a season ticket a few years ago, but they moved me to a different part of the ground and I gave it back.
I see. So you're fans of two rival clubs, but you're cousins. So that makes it very juicy, very interesting, I think. And we are going to talk, obviously, about the Merseyside derby, which we have just had. And it ended in a 2-2 draw. I thought it was a very dramatic game. So what did you make of it then? Let's start with Paul.
Oh, I thought it was a tight match. Liverpool didn't play so well, I thought, and I think for like the first hour. And yeah, Everton had the better of it. But Liverpool went 1-0 up. Everton went 1-0 up, didn't they? Sorry.
Yeah. They scored a free kick routine or something, right?
That's all.
Yeah.
How did you see that, Steve? Did you like what you did there?
Yeah, it's surprising, really, because we've been struggling for goals this season, particularly under our previous manager, Sean Dyche. That was a big problem we had. And since we've changed the manager, we've created a lot more chances. And to see a goal that looks like a routine as opposed from just open play, it was different. We've actually just got Charlie Adam, ex-Liverpool player, as our set-piece coach. So, potentially, Charlie Adam is the brains behind that first goal for us on Wednesday night.
It was a piece of brilliance, I thought, honestly. It was such a surprising move.
Yeah. Beto, who scored it, he didn't have much chances under Sean Dyche previously. And given Calvert-Lewin's injured at the moment, we haven't got any other options. But he's taking his chance. He's quite a, I don't want to say clumsy, but he's not the most pleasing on the eye of a footballer. But he seems to be popping up with goals. So, like, Wednesday night, the movement for the free kick, he's pulling back to keep himself onside to then make the chance and get in front of, like, Liverpool's defence is very good. And he broke the line and slotted it quite nicely. So, he's doing well. He's doing well at the moment.
He played well the other night, I thought. It was a handful for both of them, Konate and Van Dijk.
Yeah, I think what he lacks in a bit of skill, he makes up for in effort and physicality. And against, you know, your Liverpool's two centre-backs who are generally very commanding, and particularly Van Dijk, it's difficult to ruffle Van Dijk up. And he put himself about Beto and got a few chances. You know, obviously scored one and he had a couple more chances he could have scored. There's a header in the second half, which he's just put wide at the post. And he played well. Best game he's played for Everton, Beto. Played well.
I was going to ask that, yeah. because I've never seen that before from him, really.
Yeah, his strengths are his strength. You know, he's never going to be, you know, like he's not on a level of a Mo Salah. Technically, he's never going to be creating goals like the way someone like a Mo Salah does. But I think that goal he scored on Wednesday was a little bit different from what we've seen from him. Like, quite intelligent play to come back onside, free kick gets played, and then to run through and quite calmly. That's the biggest difference in Beto now than Beto 4 months ago.
So that was obviously a great start to the game for Everton, and kind of a sucker punch, right, to start a game like that, Paul. But you did respond to it pretty early as well, I thought.
Yeah, not long after McAllister. We won a free kick. McAllister did a really good ball into the box, and then it got cleared. And I think just McAllister did amazing for that goal. I like McAllister.
I know you do.
Yeah. But like, it was almost a counter attack for Everton, but he managed to intercept the ball and keep the ball, play it intelligently. And then he ended up in the box. And just the way he managed to leap for the header and reach for the header.
Very, very smart, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
It was a Salah cross as well, right?
It was a Salah cross. It was a difficult header, really, for a man of his size. And, yeah, he managed to strain his neck and get it in the corner.
I thought it was a piece of improvisation, you could say, as well, a little bit, because it wasn't the easiest header, but he did well there.
And it was an important goal, because if Everton had, like, kept it 1-0 to half-time... Yeah, the next goal is always important when it's 1-0.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And then you scored another one, right, in second half, was it?
Yeah, a little bit against the run of play. I thought Everton started the second half well. I think that Beto had a chance, Doucouré had a chance. It was a tight match. It wasn't a match of many chances. And I can't remember Liverpool having many chances, really. But then until that goal, until the goal, Jones comes on. And I think Jones's shot might have been going in, actually, but Branthwaite managed to block it, and it fell for Johnny on the spot, Mo Salah.
Of course. Yeah. Who else? So at that point, Steve, it looked like it was going only one way. Liverpool, obviously, now at the top of the league, and they needed 3 points. But you didn't give up.
Yeah, that's it. I think the majority in the ground thought that was it done when Liverpool scored 15 minutes to go. Having witnessed that quite a few times, both at Goodison and at Anfield, I'm just expecting the game to end up 2-1 or 3-1, to be honest. And
it looked like it was going to, though, Stephen. I think that was Liverpool's best spell. I think because Everton maybe threw caution to the wind and pushed a few players forward.
Yeah, and I think that was different, to be honest, Paul, than what would have happened previously, like under Sean Dyche.
Oh, yeah.
We would have, I couldn't see us getting back into it. The fact that it's Tarkowski scoring the winner, our centre-back, it's not from a corner. You know, he's drifted up in open play and scored a really good goal.
O'Brien was there, wasn't he? I think, was Michael Keane sent on as a centre-forward as well?
I think he brought him on, yeah, I forgot about him, to be honest.
I think he was up there, yeah.
Chaps, I'm getting shouted. Do you want a guest on, or do you want me to go and see it? I'll bring it down. Should get it quite quiet if you want me to say hello.
So Steve is referring to his daughter, who is being a bit naughty today. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I'll bring her down to say hello, and if she's being good, she can say
hello. Yeah. She can be on the podcast, absolutely.
She's an Everton fan as well, don't worry.
She's a very cute kid. She's only young.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. She will have a memory when she grows up. She will be able to find this in an archive of the next podcast.
Subscribe right. There, Zenith.
Yes. Then 15 years later. So yes, that was obviously in the, I think, 97th minute or something like that. So definitely added time. I mean, I saw Slot's reaction at that point, and he was absolutely raging.
He was, yeah, with the goal for a couple of reasons, I think, wasn't it? I think he spoke about, hello, Cora.
The wave. Can you say hello?
Hello.
Can you say hello? No. I think I'll have to call it a night. Sorry, gentlemen.
Okay.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up today, Steve, and hope to speak to you again.
Definitely, yeah. Take care now. Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Bye. All right. So, Paul, where were we?
Sloth was raging at the end. And I think for two reasons, wasn't it? He mentioned in his press conference today it was because of the added time. But I watched it back, and I don't think it was unfortunate. There was a clash of heads in like the 93rd minute or something, and it took almost 2 minutes for play to restart. And when Everton scored, he was very close to blow. Not like it wasn't in his mouth, but that was the last attack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he could have blown before then. Yeah. Bouncing round, and then the ball ends up in the box. I think the coach was more annoyed with the shove. I think it was a blatant shove. I think it was a push. And the referee is looking straight at it. He's there. And it's like a two-handed push. But, yeah, I think...
Do you think obviously, we don't have Steve here now to defend himself and his team, but I think he wouldn't say that, would he?
Yeah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't have said that. No, that's why
he wouldn't say it was a shove. I think he would say it was a fair and square goal.
Possibly, or he might have said, "Oh, but what about this?
Let's call a spade a spade." I mean, it was a good goal for Everton Goodison Park, and I mean, is it a blow to Liverpool's title challenge, or
it's just a small
blip, you think?
9 points would have been the difference between Liverpool and Arsenal. It would have been nice. It's still seven, though. A point away at Goodison. Like, we've dropped a few points recently, but like a point at home against Manchester United, a point away to Newcastle. When in matches that like we could have won, it's not like we should have won. Against Newcastle, I think Newcastle played really well, but it was a last minute goal, last minute mistake by the goalkeeper. Against Manchester United, like we were winning 2-1 with a few minutes to go, but also we could have lost that match. Against Everton, I don't think we played so well.
But are you getting nervous or not at all?
No, I don't. I'm always nervous as a Liverpool fan, really. I'm always nervous. But 7 points in mid-February is nice. I'm not saying it's like... Yeah, I'd rather be 7 points ahead than 7 points behind, of course.
That makes sense, yeah.
So it's still okay.
And a few more things I need to ask you about. So the first thing is, some people are criticizing Everton's celebrations, that they thought they were overreacting, it was just a draw and they were celebrating as if they have won the Premier League. So what do you think of that?
I think if it wasn't the last match at Goodison Park, it wouldn't have been celebrated so much.
The last derby.
It's not the last match, is it? But there's only six more matches at Goodison Park.
Right, so when you say that... We need to explain to our listeners that basically Everton, they are building a new stadium and it's about to get finished. And this is their last season in Goodison Park, right? And then they are moving to a new, brand new stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such an iconic stadium. I used to go there regularly when I was younger. Yeah. I would go to Liverpool 1 week, Everton the other week.
How does Steve feel about it?
Oh, I think him and his dad and his brothers and his, like, family... will be upset, to be honest. As he said, he's been going for 30 years, every match. They plan their holidays, they play him and his dad and his brother, they plan their life around going the Everton match, really. And it's such a big part of their lives. They've got a big group of friends who they go to match with, family and friends. And no, it's a massive part of their lives, I think. And they've bought like memorabilia from the stadium and things like when they playing Goodison Park, when they leave Goodison Park, it'll be emotional for a lot of Everton fans. They've been going for many years. Like it's a very, like where they say they tease Liverpool because Liverpool is an international football club with, well, and Everton, I suppose, but has a lot of international fans.
Yeah.
There are many tourists, as they say, inside Liverpool Stadium every week in Everton. As you saw, maybe if you watch the match, it's local people, really. It's local people. It's a different crowd.
And they feel very proud. They feel very proud of this, basically, of this fact when they compare.
When they compare with
Liverpool. And,
So it was. I understand the celebrations at the end. I really do. For them to lose that match to Liverpool, would have been really hurtful for them. They wouldn't have liked it at all. So
everybody would remind them the last game you played, the last derby you played in that old stadium. You lost that game, remember? But now they don't have to say that. So
and it was like there was a. I think it was 41 wins each in that stadium.
Oh, really?
Everton had won 41 times. Liverpool had won 41
times. That's even.
Yeah, 37 draws. Mm. So now it's 38 draws.
Oh, that is very cool, actually.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have to also delve into what happened at the very end, because what happened there, Paul? There were some red cards being brandished by Michael Oliver, the good old Arsenal nemesis of a referee.
What's the problem with Oliver? What's he done to Arsenal?
Everything.
Did he referee a Manchester City Arsenal match?
I think he showed, I think, already two red cards this season. Arsenal one was like,
he gave the one for Skelly, didn't he? Lewis Skelly.
They gave the one for Skelly, and he gave the one to Rice for slightly kicking the ball.
I don't think that was Rice, you know. I mean, don't think that was Oliver.
No.
I don't think so. Okay. It might have been, but I don't think it was. It's not in my head that it was him.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think it was Chris.
Anyway, we don't like him exactly. But what happened there then? Can you just think
Oliver, though, like, people, there was 5 or 6 years ago, he was touted as being the best English referee. And I think for a time he was, for a season or two, he was the best English referee. But I don't think he has been for a long time. There's been several times with Liverpool as well, like the Doku penalty. Also in that match yesterday, I don't want to go on about him, but there was a blatant free kick on Salah in injury time. Salah's dancing through. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it. I'm sorry. I only saw the highlights, so I can't talk about this. I believe you, of course.
It was the most blatant foul in the match.
He's the new Mike Dean, Michael Oliver. So basically, I think it was the fact that the guy that scored the goal, right? For Everton, was it him or was it one of the other Everton players that he went to celebrate the goal and the draw in front of the away fans, right? That's what happened. And then Curtis Jones, the Liverpool player, he didn't like that at all, right?
No, so it was Ducore who ran maybe like 10, 15 meters maybe across the pitch and passed Jones towards the Liverpool fans. And he just got bouncing, and he would have gone off. But as he's doing that, Jones runs after him and grabs him. And then everyone runs over. Then there's two Everton players. Then there's all Liverpool players. And then there's all the stewards. Yeah. So
what do you call it? Like a argy bar?
It was a bit of argy-bargy.
Argy-bargy.
Mostly handbags, as they say.
Handbags.
Handbags. It wasn't like no punches were thrown.
Yeah, but Michael Oliver sent those two.
Yeah, I think they were both on yellows anyway, actually.
I think
they were both on yellows.
I think it's fair because it's provocation. That celebration is a provocation. And then what Curtis Jones is also deserves a yellow, or at least, you know, maybe a red, to be fair. So then also, There was one more funny moment when the referee, you know, at the end of the game, the ref always shakes hands with both coaches, and that's what happened. And when Slop shook hands
and like in his press conference today, he said he didn't reveal what was said. He said that is an ongoing process. I'm not going to say anything. But he
shook hands. Wait, hang on. So at the end of the game, when he went to shake hands with Michael Oliver, he said something to him. So it was some sort of
like
sarcastic, some kind of sarcastic handshake or something, right?
Yeah, and he shook his hand a little bit aggressively, I thought, as well.
And then the reaction was that 1 second later, Michael Oliver gives him a red card.
And then he gave the Liverpool coach a red card as well. The Liverpool
assistant.
Three coach, red cards for Liverpool. So Liverpool might get some kind of.
Who's going to be in charge then? There's no coaches now left.
So nobody gave. Usually, if you get a red card as a manager, you cannot do the press after the match.
Right.
And it's usually the coach. But he got a red card as well, so there was no comment from any like Liverpool staff, only one player.
I think you need to call Jurgen Klopp.
come back
for one game. We have a coach sent off.
Yeah, it was a good game. As an Arsenal fan, did you watch it? Were you
I did not watch it. No, I just saw the highlights and I thoroughly enjoyed. Obviously, the equalizer, I have to say, as an Arsenal fan, this gives us a hope. This gives us a chance. And also, I knew because we were planning to record this with you and your cousin Stee.
Yeah.
So I knew this would make for a good content as well. Yeah.
It's a shame, but
it looks like Stee's daughter had a different plan.
I think Steve would have been disappointed with Oliver as well. I think Everton fans think there could have been a penalty. There could have been a sending off. I think it could have been a penalty. I don't know if you saw it. It bounced up and hit Konate's arm, but they were speaking on commentary as if, like, oh, the rules have changed about that now. His hand was in a natural position.
Yeah.
But it did hit his arm. The one of the sending off with Bradley. He got booked in the first half for nothing much, just going. He didn't tackle him, but he just went in into the tackle a bit strongly. And then the second half, Doucouré fell when he was running away. But I don't think it was a sending off, really. I think they are clutching at straws with that. But yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see it, but it only goes to show that there are always different interpretations of the same. Like I've seen, but we have got this WhatsApp group. And we sometimes discuss the games there, and it seems like there are fans of different football teams, and we never agree on anything there. So,
football fans never agree. You're right. Yeah. I still think the Lewis Skelly red card was quite a bad tackle. I know it wasn't the worst tackle, but there was not a tackle like that in the Merseyside derby. There was no tackles like studs on ankles, nothing like that. But. I know. I know the world disagrees with me with that.
Yeah. So it's all relative and there's context to it all. And you are biased, just like I am. So
we're all biased,
But definitely, Paul, it's been wonderful to have you back on the Footgrish podcast and your cousin. Say hi to him and his daughter.
Thank you, Zenek.
The future Everton fan, the future.
Definitely. Like, imagine she became a Liverpool fan. There's no way.
Has she been to the old stadium?
She has, I think. I think she has. I bet she will.
They will have to record something. They will have to like record a video of her and then show it to her. Because when she starts going to the new stadium, she will have a wonderful memory. But because she's this young, she might not remember it. So
I know. I think she has. I know his brother's kids have, who are quite young.
Mm.
But they are older than her. But I'm like, that's a good point. I don't know if she has, actually.
Okay, nice one, Paul.
Nice one. Thank you.
Take care, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to go through some language because I'm an English teacher, so I have to do my job. Now, remember how Stee wanted to put his naughty daughter to sleep, but he couldn't? Well, in fact, he brought her downstairs where he was recording the podcast, and he also made her say hi, or ask her to say hi to the listeners, but then she started crying and it didn't exactly work. So he decided to just stop recording with us. You know, remember how he left? He said, "I think I will have to call it a night, gentlemen. I think I'll have to call it a night." So there's a nice English language idiom. When you call it a night, actually, we can also say to call it a day. It means you're going to stop doing whatever you're doing and leave and say goodbye to someone, let's say, right? Let's call it a day. You could say that at the end of your work shift. Let's call it a day for today, right? You're working, and you have had enough. You've worked enough on that day. So you say, okay, let's call it a day. And when you say, let's call it a night, it basically means, yeah, that's it. That's the night for me. I'm going to go to bed now. Right, so that was some idiom for you. I hope you guys found it useful. I hope you like it. And perhaps you start using it yourself, because that's how you have to deal with this at the end of the day, because it doesn't work in the way that you only listen. You have to use the language as well. You have to use it actively, right? That is the best way to actually... yeah, become one with the language. It's the only way to get the grips with it. Okay, guys, that's it from me for today. Don't forget that you can support the Footglitch podcast in different ways. For example, you can give a like to the video of this podcast if you watched it on the YouTube channel. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.